Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Are you ready for more independence as a financial advisor? Consider the RIA model. Schwab Advisor Services has helped thousands of advisors make the move. To find your path, start with Schwab at advisorservices.schwab.com/paths today.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? Welcome to the 49ers Rush Podcast. It's actually the 49ers Coach Approach because it's Thursday. I'm with the man and 49ers Cutback. How are we doing today, brother?
Doing good. Now that the audio issues are taken care of, like to explain everyone, I apologize that we're going late. That's on me. And right now, I don't know what to do with my hands.
Oh, there, man. You know what would be fun is if, like, we were able to record all of the stuff before we go live and after we go live, and like when you got to sneeze and you got to play a video so that you can cut because, you know, your dogs go. I mean, people, it's funny the stuff that you have to go through. You know, it's what it is. But I could not be happier to be here with you, Ant. And today's going to be fun because, you know, the draft's taking place. We're now in the long haul of the offseason. Matt Barrows and The Athletic put out an amazing article over on The Athletic where they sat down with Tariq Ahmad, who is basically like number two in the 49ers personnel department next to John Lynch. And he just talked through him with all the rookies. So what I wanted to do is use this as a launching pad to dive into the 49ers rookie class. What's the impact they're going to have on 2025? Now that we've had a couple of weeks to kind of dissect the film, who they are, the personalities, all that stuff, and just use this as kind of a launching pad to let's keep going through this rookie class. Let's get to know them better, what their fits are, because now we've heard John Lynch, we've heard Kyle Shanahan, we've heard from the rookies themselves, and now we're hearing an extra voice and Tariq Ahmad just on how these 49ers rookies fit. This draft class, the 49ers have put so much stock and emphasis, 11 draft picks. This is how they are going to rebuild this roster, not through free agency. You're going to keep a couple of the cornerstone pieces. We've seen that with the extensions of Warner, Purdy, and Kittle. So, yeah, can you just, before we jump into this, talk about the roster design and why the 49ers rookie class this year is different from what we've seen in the Shanahan Lynch era, because there's not guys in front of them anymore.
Yeah. I mean, usually you have these guys set to step in and in some point in their career, but usually not day one. I think you can look at examples of that, especially with guys like Aaron Banks. You know, he was expected to come in and learn and eventually replace Laken Tomlinson. Even last year, Dominic Pooney was not expected to start at right guard coming in. He just got an opportunity and never looked back. But I think these rookies are expected to make an instant impact, especially on defense, where it's a defense that's been kind of picked over because of free agency. You have a real need when it comes to cornerback. There's Upton Stout. You have a need when it comes to defensive line in a big way. We talked about going into the draft needing at least two starting defensive tackles because there really wasn't a pure starter on this football team. And then Mikel Williams, whenever you get somebody that high in the draft, you're expecting them to step in. So it is a little bit different. But I think this is what the 49ers understand is we're going to sign our pillars that are going to be around here for a long time. And then we've got to go ahead and draft and develop. And John Lynch kind of let the cat out of the bag early on in the process where he said, hey, some of these guys are one contract guys. Some of these guys are decade long guys. And so what you're trying to do is draft and develop these guys and locate the guys that are going to be decade guys, the Fred Warners, the Brock Purdy's, the George Kittles, and keep those guys around. And then there's going to be a lot of one contract guys that we're going to love that are going to move on. And then you're going to find new one contract guys. So it's a philosophy for longevity. And it's not really that different from what the 49ers did in the past with Bill Walsh, where you saw that happen a lot. Favorites like Ricky Waters and others moved on. And that was hard for us to do after one contract. But it's what the 49ers need to do for longevity and continued success.
Man, I loved watching Ricky Waters run. I thought the aesthetic of those like 94 uniforms, right? It just seemed like his, it was just, he was so clean. I love it. So let's dive in. Let's start at the top. And again, this is, you know, we're just taking a little bit from this article. There's still a lot more to it. And so just shining light on Matt Barrows, not that he needs our help at The Athletic, but incredible article that he does every year. Again, this is all taking parts from Tariq Ahmad and his interview with Matt Barrows over on The Athletic. Go check it out. Great work. Mikel Williams. I thought that this was interesting because the 49ers stay away from injured players. Like they do not, especially early on, they usually in the first couple rounds, they don't usually target those. Well, Mikel Williams had a grade two ankle sprain. And Ahmed talked about how they went to Georgia practice knowing that Mikel Williams had a grade two ankle sprain. They wanted to see, because he only missed a short time games, but they wanted to see how he practiced. Well, he made every single rep in practice, and then they said what was particularly interesting to them is that practice ended, and Mikel Williams, even with the ankle injury, stayed after for 20 minutes extra work after the Georgia practice concluded, and just how that made such a lasting impact. The 49ers seem to have this thing. If you play through injuries, They love you. Whether that's a positive thing or a negative thing, I think Mikal Williams' tape showed that. Was there anything else that stood out to you in kind of that article? And again, it just kind of seems like Mikal Williams, the Niners love this guy, willing to trade up for him, all that stuff. What else did you take away from that?
Yeah, they talked about his intensity and his passion. And I think that that's one of the key elements to how the 49ers are picking players, is they're picking guys that love football enough to stay after practice with an injury and still get it done, to show up and go out there and play. Because there's a lot of prospects, especially with Mikal Williams knowing he's going to be a first-round pick, that would have sat out and said, hey, I'm just going to prepare for the draft. I'm going to wait. And, you know, especially once Georgia wasn't looking like they were going to be in the picture for a national championship, he could have just said, you know what, I'm going to take care of me. But instead, he continued to be out there for his guys. It was important for him to be out there. And I think the 49ers have pinpointed that as a trait that they're looking for in their prospects, is they want guys that are going to, you know, go ahead and play through injury. And I think it just shows a mental part of the game that they love. And that's the John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan aggressive style. For Kyle, it's a coach's thing where you always want people to be ready or be capable of going out there. For John Lynch, it shows something that he displayed as a player, so he can relate to it. And so I do think that that's an aspect they look at. And it was a lot more mental than I'm sure it was physical. And I think they like the mental toughness. And I think that's a huge element to Mikal Williams' game, because the film showed that he's a consistent player on multitude of levels. But what the film can't show is what the college tells you, that he's going to be this, this, and this. And then they show up and he is that. And that makes the 49ers fall in love with the player. And I think that's why they're willing to jump up, because of the mental makeup of the player. He's made of the right stuff, as Fred Warner says in almost every interview now. And I think that that's what the 49ers were looking for. And I think that's what they got in Mikal Williams.
I like that. Now, I didn't tell Ant we're doing this, so he's going to have to do this on the fly. I wanted his immediate reaction. We're going to grade each player 1 to 10 on how important this player is to the 2025 season alone. So this isn't a two-year projection. This is rookie year. What is it? 1 to 10, 10 being, man, starter, high impact player, important player, depends, you know, all that stuff, to one. We'll see. So I'll go first. I have a 10 on Mikal Williams' impact on the 2025 season. What would you grade it 1 to 10?
Yeah, I was going to put it at a 9. So okay. I think that we're kind of thinking the same way, because he's going to have to make an impact right away. You've got Etor Gross-Matos, right? What is Gross-Matos? Probably more a rotational piece. There's big expectations on Mikal Williams, maybe more than Nick Bosa had in 2019. So that there's definitely a lot there.
I like it. All right, let's move on to player number 2, Alfred Collins. Huge, just big old dude. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, Ahmed talked about they had 19 reports done on Alfred Collins. And I love the fact, like, the ties between – I'm a Longhorn, so I have to put this out there. The ties between the 49ers and the Texas Longhorns program, they're huge. Kyle Shanahan played there. He goes down 1 week every single offseason, spends time with Steve Sarkisian, their head coach, spends time with their players, all that kind of stuff. But even more than that, Tariq Ahmed was with Kyle Flood, who's the very famous offensive line coach for Texas, one of the best educators in the sport, regardless of any level. They were together for 7 seasons, Ahmed and Flood, at Rutgers. And so Tariq talked about how, man, whenever he talked to Kyle Flood, the Texas offensive line coach, Alfred Collins was the hardest player to block in practice, constantly disrupting things. Just the quote was, "Alfred destroys practice," end quote. So what else stood out to you with Alfred Collins? It just seems like this is a 49ers guy through and through. 19 reports written up on this one single player. Match made in heaven, in my opinion.
Yeah, what I loved about it was the emphasis on the fact that he wrecked practice, but then talked about the fact that he's more of a two-gapper. But that's not what he's going to do in San Francisco, that they are projecting him to fit into their scheme. And the things that they did at Texas are not the things he's going to do in San Francisco. So people that were worried potentially, and I think that I share a little bit of that concern because we haven't seen it, of how he was going to rush the passer, might be a little bit more excited about the potential that Tariq Ahmad and the 49ers front office sees in Alfred Collins being able to be a penetrator and attacking and getting into the backfield. If he's destroying practice, with the style of defense he was playing at Texas, he's going to absolutely wreck shop when he starts playing in the 49ers scheme that kind of takes all of the restraints off and lets you go and be aggressive. He's got the natural size, length. The dude's got quickness. It's the perfect match when you think about it that way. So I think that this is a huge one where they love what they're going to get, even if they got just what was at Texas, right? The guy that could stop the run, be a two-down player. It's a phenomenal pick. But if the projection that these 19 reports was seeing comes true, this dude is going to be an absolute star. And I think that's the thing the 49ers saw and love. And when you talk about the quickness, and they refer to a short area quickness and change of direction, I think that those all fit very well in the 49ers scheme. So I really enjoyed that thought process and what they were looking at when it came to projection for Alfred Collins, because that opens the doors wide open to who he could be in the NFL.
Yeah, one of the interesting things was Ahmed talked about with C.J. West and Alfred Collins. They didn't play the style that Chris Kucerik and the 49ers defensive line covets, which is that penetrating, fast, get upfield, impact the passer style play. And he referenced, like, we consider Alfred Collins a pass rusher, and we think that those sack numbers are going to go up, those disruption numbers are going to go up, because he two-gapped a lot. Texas did a lot of that. With Pete Kwiatkowski, the Longhorns DC, that's what they do. They stop the run first. They blitz from the outside and blitz with their backers and nickels and safeties. Their guys up the middle just clog everything up. So that's a little bit of a transition piece that we haven't really seen with the 49ers, where they drafted not one but two defensive linemen that were two gappers, space eaters, and now they're going to try to convert them into this penetrating style of pass rush. Does that concern you a little bit? Or is it like, hey, the tape, the physicality, the athleticism that both these guys show, C.J. West and Alfred Collins, I think that that's a very clean projection. Where are you at on that? Like, do you feel like they're going to be able to accomplish it? Are you worried?
I think it's easier to see the projection with C.J. West because you've seen some of the skills put on display a little bit more with what he was asked to do in college at Indiana compared to Alfred Collins. I think Collins is more projection, but when you talk about the arm length, the size, the speed, the athleticism, the versatility to move in multiple positions, he just needs the work. Like, he just needs to work with coaching a little bit, and I do think that he's got the potential to be a guy that can produce sacks. I've thought of this from the beginning, that I didn't think the zero sacks thing was going to follow him into the NFL, that he was going to be a guy that could get sacks in the NFL. The question is, what level is that? You know, is that five and under? Is that a Malik Collins sack level type guy? Or is this an absolute wrecked shop guy that's, you know, going to get up there into the 5 to 10 range, which is some of the best interior defensive linemen in the league? I think they drafted him thinking that. And I think this article kind of let that out of the bag, that they see this guy being a complete wrecker of shop. And that means one tech, three tech, yes. Like, it's everything. This dude is that guy that they believe can play more. And I think on draft night, that was one of my concerns when we were talking, was, is this guy more than a one tech? Obviously, they see him as more. And that makes sense why they drafted him in the second round, because he is a lot more. And I think that the emphasis they put on the reports means that they believe he can be.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.
I like projection because I think that allows you to get some really good players that maybe you would overlook if you only put them into a box.
So let's go to the question. A 1 to 10 scale, what is the impact number you give Alfred Collins just on the 2025 season?
I think it's a 10. I think with the way that this defense has been completely built on these rookie defensive tackles, one of them has to play, I think, as a starter right away, and it's going to play a lot of snaps. I think Alfred Collins is going to be that guy. I think that's who they see as the main defensive tackle. So, yeah, I'm going with Alfred Collins at a 10.
I love that. Yeah, I had a 9. So, through, you know, we have a 9.5 composite score on Mikael Williams. We have a 9.5 composite score on Alfred Collins. Those guys are going to be playing some ball. There's no doubt. Like, they're both starters. Day one, rep one. Those guys are going to be out there. So let's go to Nick Martin, the third round pick, which was the very first kind of big surprise because a lot of people had fourth, fifth, sixth round grades. This is a player coming off a major injury, even though it does seem like he's back ready to go. So, and you know, Ahmed, back to the interview, said there were two elite interviews that stood out to us in this draft class. One of them was Mikael Williams. The second one was Nick Martin. And the question that they thought that he answered, Nick Martin, the linebacker, quote, who's going to be the leader of that linebacker group? Talking about the rookies, the young guys, who's going to push the guys to watch extra tape and to be on the field extra, end quote. They thought that would be Nick Martin. And just what he saw in this player, perfect style fit with Robert Saleh. And man, leadership, leadership, leadership. What else did you take away?
Yeah, you know, and some of this comes from the things that we've heard this offseason. I mean, you interviewed him as well. And the transition that I think that made a big impact on the 49ers was when Nick Martin was unable to help on the field, he took it upon himself to not only educate himself more off the field as far as film and just learning and getting scheme down, but trying to help his teammates as well. And that transition from player to coach, gets everyone in a mindset of what a leader is going to be. In this article, he talked about the fact they were looking for somebody that had it upstairs, that they could mentally be able to process the calls, be able to run the defense if Fred Warner wasn't on the field, and they felt that Nick Martin was. He related him, of course, to Dre Greenlaw. That's going to be the natural comparisons with Dre going away, and talked about his size isn't there, but they thought they seen a lot of the same intangibles, the way he could run, the way he hit, the physicality he played with. So this was an interesting one because they had consensus. He talked about that in the article, that they were really all together on Nick Martin. And I think that's, if you know, John Lynch said, when we have consensus, that's usually when it goes the best. Nick Martin, that's how they felt about him. So I thought that the comments about his mentality were great, but also just the intelligence that he was able to display. And what I've heard from him so far this offseason, I agree. I think he's super intelligent and going to be able to pick up this scheme. And I'm very hopeful for what he's going to be able to add. I don't want to put the Dre Greenlaw type rookie, projections on him. I want this guy to be able to be Nick Martin and kind of develop into a player, but it's fun to watch a guy that runs sideline to sideline and hits the way he does. And when it's upstairs, it just makes it easier.
Yeah, the style, like there's so few guys that play like Dre Greenlaw. So like that's always going to be difficult because the way Dre Greenlaw impacted games was this enforcer, just like punishing, scaring, opposing offense. That's not the way Nick Martin plays. Not that he doesn't hit hard. That's not what I'm saying at all. But it's a little bit more of a Roquan Smith. It's a little bit like that type of feel. Roquan Smith's an all pro. You know what I mean? My favorite thing that, you know, you talked about whenever we had him on, my favorite question, I want to play this clip on every single show because I was like, dude, what's your approach? And we'll lead into it. Here we go. How soon are you going to play? Dude, are you planning to jump in? You want to start week one? Like, what is your goal, your mindset taking into this roster?
Yeah, my goal is to come in and start week one, you know, come in and earn that spot and be that guy that they trust, you know, and play alongside Fred and those guys and everybody in the back end and the guys in front of me as well that got drafted and the guys that's already there, like Nick Bosa, you know, I'm just excited to play with those guys and improve to them and earn the best respect, you know, and show the coaches that they made the perfect decision with picking me and showing that they believe in the right guy.
Ah, I love that he cut me off before I even answered the question. When do you think you're going to play? Yes. Yeah. Like he's ready. So the mindset that the 49ers coveted and they talked about how great that interview was, man, dude jumped off. The personality's there. I'm excited about it. And again, whenever you pair what the article talked about with Tariq Ahmed and what Kyle Lynch said right after day two, where he said, you know, the way we scripted this draft and people won't believe us, but it was Mikael Williams, Alfred Collins, and Nick Martin. Like those were the three we wanted to walk away from. And you know how much of that you want to say is correct or not, but it makes sense because everybody is coming off with this exact same messaging. This is our guy. So let's turn to the question. Scale of 1 to 10, how important of an impact will Nick Martin have on the 2025 season alone?
Yeah, I think this one's a little bit less. I'm going to put it at a 7. I think 7. That there's still D. Winters, right? There's still Tatum Bethune. I think there's still some other guys there that, you know, are going to push. I hope he has a bigger impact. But like I said, I don't want to put those Dre Greenlaw expectations on him. I want to let this guy develop. But, man, if he could start day one, I would love it. I think he's just an impact player. I love his film. He's a fun player to watch.
So it's you want him to start day one, but it's not like a letdown if he doesn't.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that I love that he said that in your interview. I got to go earn it. And that's the key. The 49ers need to make him earn it. And I think that's also going to push D. Winters. Because if I'm D. Winters and I hear a quote like that, and he talks about I'm going to start day one or I want to start day one, I'm game on. No, you ain't coming and taking my spot, Rook. And I think that kind of elevates the game a little bit, and I love that. But make the rookies earn it. I know that Mikael Williams and Alfred Collins, those guys need to start, but you got to make these guys earn it because then it just changes the game a little bit. It becomes a meritocracy like we love to see, that competition. And I think that's why you don't give anything. Make everything be earned. And I think Nick Martin's going to be in a tough competition at linebacker.
you know, we're talking about the rookies, but I do love the point that you bring up about D Winners. Like, dude, you got passed over last year by a guy that doesn't even care about football, that just cared about money, and Devondre Campbell. Like, you got passed over. Now, you played the last three games. You played well. But then the 49ers bring in a new coach that did not pick you in Robert Saleh. And then they go out and they spend a top, you know, day two pick on a linebacker. Like, dude, the writing's on the wall, D. If you don't want to be passed over, this is your opportunity. You have to win this job. You have to stay healthy. And you have to play at a level where the 49ers cannot have the choice of putting Nick Martin in that number two spot. You got to claim that. Because if you don't claim that early, you're passed over. You're number three rotational special teams guy at best. And then whenever your rookie year's up, like, good luck. Like, this is the moment for D Winners. And it's not like we all like the new shiny toy and Nick Martin, but, like, man, D Winners, guy, he's got the skills. He's just got to be consistent with it and show up. That is just probably the most exciting camp battle of this entire, like, I can't wait to watch the linebackers just duke it out. But you gave an 8 to Nick Martin. You gave a 7. I had an 8. So okay. 7.5, man. We're close. We're within one of each other back to back. But, yeah, it's the competition. That's what I want to do. What's up, Luke? Appreciate everybody in the chat. You guys are awesome. Love it, love it, love it. Let's talk Upton Stout. My favorite quote in the article, quote, "He plays like he loves football. He plays in run support like he loves getting to the ball. It's exactly the passion, the mentality we are looking for." And then he even talked about how whenever he walked into the room, he lit the room up. And so the personality, the charisma, the attitude that the 49ers covet in the defensive back, physicality has to be there. And what did you think of what came up on Upton Stout? Just kind of your film breaks of him and just your overall assessment of this rookie.
Yeah, you know, he's been one that once you get in more of the film, I liked him in the process. I wouldn't say that I was in love with the prospect by any stretch, but I liked him a lot in the process. And I think the more I've dove into his film, the more I related it to who Tariq Ahmad was comparing him to, K'Juan Williams. I think that that was an easy comparison because of the size, but the aggressiveness. I mean, that's one thing about the Shark. He would come up and hit you, and he played like a linebacker. He was really good with those run fits. There were other struggles in his game that I think Upton Stout is better at, but I thought it was interesting how he talked about the wingspan of Upton Stout for a 5'8 guy, kind of getting a comparison there, but also saying he was more thickly built than K'Juan Williams. And David Lombardi did a great interview with the coach of Upton Stout, the Western Kentucky coach. And one thing I thought that was in there that was very revealing was this type of stuff we were talking about with Mikel Williams. That's what Upton Stout did. Stayed after practice, was the one that put in all the extra effort. It was a 49ers guy. And I thought that watching his film, the hips, the fluidity, the change of direction, all that fits, but he still got that ability to come up and smack you too. And I love that mentality. And I think that's the biggest thing that I love about Upton Stout is the competition we're going to get. I think that Upton Stout is going to be one of those guys that becomes a 49er fan favorite because he's going to have that attitude. He's going to talk trash. He's going to back it up like Demo. And I think that that's what I love about the player. So he's an interesting one. I think he's got a chance to come in and really make an impact on this team. And I think he's a Robert Saleh pick through and through. And I love the fact that they're going back and getting a very aggressive nickel. And because I do think there's question marks about corner. We talked D-line. Corner as well was a big question mark going into the draft.
My litmus test for this defensive scheme and play that nickel corner, excuse me, can you stop the slot fade? Which, that was K'Juan Williams' downfall and why he was kind of phased out is, man, he just could not stop that slot fade. And you transitioned and all those things. You finally got Demo that could. I like the speed of Upton Stout. I like the coverage ability. I like the physicality. I got to see it in the pros. And, man, you go through murderer's row on that slot wide receiver role in the NFC West. I mean, you got Puka in there. You got Tutu Atwell that does some of the things in there. You've got Jackson Smith and Jigba. And, you know, we'll see what happens with Arizona. But, like, that is a thing that you are going to see in this scheme because it's a vulnerability in the scheme design. Nickel corners have to play inside leverage in the run fit game. Therefore, you're lined up at a deficit and you have no outside help. Like it's trouble. So that's, I really, really hope that we get some positive. It's not like if he gets burned on one slot fade, it's like, ah, throw your hands up. It's over. I don't believe that at all. But it's like, man, we finally stopped it with D'Amador Lenore. Now we're going to take him out of that. I'm very curious to see what that's going to look like with the moving of the corners and who comes in on that third nickel package and where they line up. So let's go to the question. 1 to 10, Upton Stout, what is his impact on the 2025 season?
I think this one's hard because I have no idea if he's going to start. You know, I think the other guys, it was a lot easier. I think that it's going to be tough just with the way that the 49ers have cornerbacks step in. Like Renardo Green was able to play on the outside, but it was a real transition for the inside with the run fits and everything. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put this at a 6. I think that he's going to have an opportunity to compete, but I don't know for sure if he's going to win. And so I think I'll keep it there because I've just seen so many guys struggle with this, whether that was Demo, his rookie year, or Sam Womack, or Renardo Green. Like these rookies just haven't been able to do it in year one. So I'll put it at a 6.
I have a 6 as well. We have our first consensus. 6-6. That's what it is. So Upton Stout. Now, before we jump to the rest of the draft, if you're going to any Niners games, come on, guys.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its 6th year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys. Kids are always included and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get an autograph. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
All right, man. I can't wait to get these traveling down. If you go to any games, y'all going to come party with us, head over to TickPick app. Just type in 49ers Rush in the search bar. All our events pull up. 49ers Space Rush. All right, let's talk about the 49ers fans. Seems to be favorite draft pick, CJ West. I'm going to let you lead this one out. What's not to love about this dude?
Yeah, I think that when it comes to personality, he might be the most likable for sure of the of all the draft picks. The guy just, you know, screams fun player, someone you can connect with. And I think he backs it up on the field too. You know, you see the way that he moves for a man his size, 317 pounds. You're not supposed to be able to run, you know, a 10-yard split at 176. Like, you're just not supposed to be able to move that quickly. The thing I took the most out of this was he doesn't get off like we get off, yet he's somebody that we wanted. So they feel like they can get him off the football quicker, which is a legitimate concern when watching CJ West film. He doesn't have that elite get off, which sometimes makes you question, is that a Kaseric guy? He doesn't have that GTFO type, you know, player, but they think they can get it out of him. And if they can, this guy is going to be even more fun because the personality is going to be able to come through with the way he wreaks havoc. But I love the things that he says. He wants to play with violence. He wants to break those offensive linemen's will down as games go on. There's nothing not to like about this guy. He's got the skill set. He's got the mentality. Yeah, I think he's a fan favorite. I love the attitude of the guys they got. They either got guys that are extremely, you know, intelligent guys, but they also got guys that are really aggressive. And I think Upton Stout, as CJ West, these guys kind of bring that aggressive style that, you know, I'm going to come up and smack you all the time. And I love that about CJ West.
Yeah, this, it was funny. I asked him, like, what do you want 49ers fans to know about you? And this is what CJ West said. These fans look up to you. They're so excited to pull for you and buy your jersey and all that stuff. What do you want them to know about you before the season starts?
I want them to know that, like I said before, I'm a guy of high character. I love being around people. I love, you know, expressing myself and just making people feel happy about themselves, making people feel good. So I'm a guy of high character. I'm going to bring everything I got into the 49ers program. I'm going to give them everything I got. And you'll see my face. I love being around and helping out in the community. So that's something I'm huge on as well. So I'm sure you'll see me around in the community, helping out and trying to, you know, make people feel better about their day and themselves. So,
well, I hope your rookie season goes as well as this interview, because, you know, I love talking to this dude. He was just fun, man. So, all right, let's go to this. 1 to 10, how big of an impact do you think CJ West has on the 2025 season?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and put it at an 8. You know, with the way the 49ers rotate, this guy's going to have expectations on him. And he needs to be able to penetrate, because when you look at Alfred Collins, besides Alfred Collins and CJ West, the only other penetrating defensive linemen are Kevin Givens, who's not good against the run, or Jordan Elliott, and he's not good against the run primarily either. So CJ West is going to have to step into a role at some point. I don't know if he's a day one starter. I think there's a little bit more development than compared to Alfred Collins when it comes to playing in the NFL. But at some point, he's going to take over the starting job. I have full faith in CJ West. And once that happens, he's going to make a huge impact. I think the 49ers feel like they've got two very versatile defensive tackles that can win getting vertical and creating havoc. And so I'm a big fan of CJ West. But yeah, I wish he could start day one. I don't think it's going to happen.
I'm with you there. My favorite thing is when the 49ers double up on positions. Like, even if you miss on one, you just double your chances. And we've seen it at running back. We've seen it at quarterback. We've seen it at wide receiver. We've seen that so many different positions. I love this. I have an 8 as well. So back-to-back consensus. Now, just a couple questions about road trips that came up in the chat. Slick, JC, are you having a road trip in L.A. this year? I am not. It's a Thursday game. It's not really a road trip. There are some diehard 49ers communities that already hold events there. And so those are there. If you don't know what those are, reach out to me. I'll be happy to help and point you in the right direction there. JP, my man, says, I will see you in Seattle. JP is one of the funnest humans I've ever been with. And that dude in Seattle, he parties hard. Can't wait. Rob Louder in the chat. What's up, man? Lieutenant Simple Jack. I love it. I love it. I love it. A couple other things. Just JNS moving over on Twitter. We drafted the top 3 run-stuffing D players of the draft. Collins, West, Williams. The priorities of this 49ers defense is crystal clear. Stop the run, force third and long, get after the passer, get off the field. It is the principles, the core tenets on just, man, how you build a Robert Saleh defense. I love it when teams have a plan. And you can see what that plan is, and it's just crystal clear. Debbie, CJ West needs to be at your 49ers rush to get the together this season. It's hard to get the current players out because, you know, they're having practices and they got, you know, all that stuff. But I do like that. And, oh, Logan says, don't forget about Evan Anderson coming back for year 2. Switch his number up to 55. I like that. I'm excited about that one. I'm excited about that one. So let's move on to Jordan Watkins. The wide receiver that you took in the 4th round, this was the biggest stretch for me. And I, even after the presser where, you know, Kyle Shanahan just talked about, all he talked about was the combine. Like, didn't talk about tape, didn't talk about film, didn't talk about character. Not saying he didn't have those things, just combine, combine, combine. And then in this article at The Athletic, that's all Tariq Ahmed talked about too. He says, quote, Watkins looked as good as any receiver at the combine, especially in the gauntlet drill. And then again, quote, Kyle was a big fan. He was a very big fan of his, end quote. I'm not the biggest Jordan Watkins truther. I hope he balls out. I'm a fan of his now because he's on the 49ers. This raised more questions for me, in my opinion, than I already had. Where do you stand on the usage and the fit of Jordan Watkins?
Yeah, you know, I thought this was interesting. Especially when you were looking at the board. I know the 49ers didn't want to move around, but Alec Ayo Maynor went 2 spots before the 49ers selected Jordan Watkins, and I thought that he probably was a more prototypical 49ers pick at the time. But I think that there was an interesting quote in here where he was talking about what Kyle Shanahan covets in wide receivers, and he said, being loose in the lower body, strong change of direction skills, and fluidity. And I thought that that was a nice insight into what Kyle Shanahan actually looks at, because you're right. He brought up the combine, and Tariq Ahmed brought up the combine as well, and going through the gauntlet drill, and they felt like that really shows who can catch the ball, you know, as a really smooth catcher of the football with the fluid hands. And I get it, but that's an interesting perspective that, hey, we're just going to find somebody that's really good in the gauntlet drill, and they're going to be a natural catcher of the football. So I'd like that they got a little bit deeper there. I do think that this was the one that caught everyone's attention, even though Nick Martin and Upton Stout people felt like was a little bit of an overdraft. I think people could understand it because you could look at the traits, and the 49ers have drafted ahead of time before, but Jordan Watkins was a guy that you're like, wait, in the fourth round? Like, what's going on here? And I think that I like the skill set as far as the speed, the athleticism, but how is that going to translate to the game film? And I think this one's probably one of the bigger question marks for the 49ers draft. If it hits, we're all going to be super pumped because now we have a vertical threat that can do some things down the field. But when it comes to Yak, this is an interesting one because I didn't see a lot of Yak from him when it came to catches over the middle and that explosive nature. This is where he's different from Jacob Cowing and he's different from Danny Gray and those guys that have been speedsters in the past is lack of Yak. And so I just felt like he went down easy. There's some more question marks. So I don't know exactly how Kyle's going to use them. I'm interested to see what they do with Jordan Watkins. I think this one is probably the most perplexing of the 49ers draft picks.
Yeah, I think we did 349 players graded. He wasn't one. I pulled up his tape, and that's another thing. Like, I hated his tape. And the 49ers haven't said one good thing about his tape either. Now, you'll watch that Arkansas game, you'll fall in love with him when he had like five touchdowns. Outside of that, it's kind of – what did you see in his tape? Because I hated it. Taking plays off, doesn't like to block, doesn't go hard, doesn't run routes fully, rounds off his routes. Like, not that it's all bad, but like I had a hard time seeing this is a 49ers player on the tape, but then you watch the combine. Yeah, look good on the combine, and that's all Kyle Shanahan and Tariq Ahmed, like, that's all they're talking about. So did you what was your assessment just of the film alone? Because I want to know if I'm crazy and what I'm missing.
No, I mean, I thought that there was a vertical part of his game, you know, and I thought he could get open in the intermediate routes, like crossing the field, but that's why I was concerned about the Yak, because that's normally you get those guys in the open field, and then they can make plays, and he didn't really show a 4.3 speed when he was out on the football field. I don't think he looked 4.3. So that was kind of one of the things I was concerned about. I didn't see a complete route tree. You brought up, you know, some of the plays that happened backside where he's kind of jogging and not doing everything he's supposed to do. And I get his Lane Kiffin's offense and what the expectations are. But I think there was also some concerns when it came to blocking for me. And so that's why it was perplexing for me when you're looking at how he fits into a 49ers scheme. And so I don't know what Kyle looked at. My guess is they're looking at something very unique, very, very niche for him early on in his career and hoping they can get more out of him. They're like, hey, if we plug this guy into this certain role, he's going to be impactful until we can develop him. But that's why I want to see where they line him up and how they use him, because right now I don't think it's as clear a picture as some of the other draft picks the 49ers had.
Yeah, Debbie, what does Jordan Watkins do that's so special compared to who we already have? His top end speed, he's probably him and Jacob Cowing are the fastest wide receivers, but he has way more size than Jacob Cowing. Now, you talk about that gauntlet drill. That's where the wide receiver runs in a straight line, looks right, left. He talks about the hands and all that stuff. That is a direct transition or translation to drift concept, which is the Shanahan staple. Used to do it with Pierre Garçon back in Washington, and, you know, did it with Andre John. Like, the drift concept is basically, think about Debo running 12 yards, rounding his route and flattening behind the linebackers, and then Brock Purdy throwing that middle window. A lot of Juwan Jennings, big cats, like that drift concept is paramount. I mean, it is a staple in the Shanahan playbook, and all of his, McVay does it, KOC does it, McDaniel does it, everybody does it that's been a part of that. We'll see it in Seattle now too. So that does translate to that. And so if you could do that, I think that translates. I think that's huge. He does have the speed to take the top off. It's just you have to adjust his play style because he's soft, doesn't like to block, doesn't go hard. Now, that was coached by Kiffin at Ole Miss. You have to coach that out now. So same thing happened with Ronnie Bell. And I know everybody hates Ronnie Bell, but the one thing that you got to say about Ronnie Bell is that dude played his ass off every single play. He wasn't good, but he blocked really hard, ran his routes really, really hard. You didn't see that at Michigan near as much on the tape. And so I was worried, could this guy block? Well, he came out and blocked very, very well. So much that Shanahan kept letting him play and he just wasn't a receiver. So this is my biggest question mark of the draft, but that's okay. If the WTF Shanahan moment comes in the fourth round, I'm cool with that. So 1 to 10, What would you say Jordan Watkins' impact will be on the 2025 season?
Three.
I went one.
Being optimistic.
Yeah, I went one. I just can't see it. Even Shanahan alluded to it's going to be tough for him to find a way on the field as a receiver early on. And that's even with, you know, one, Shanahan doesn't like rookie wide receivers, but Ayuk's out early. DeMarcus Robinson going to be suspended. Like, if he was going to play, it'd be early, but he's got – this is a time down the road thing. So let's get to one of the players that 49ers fans are really excited about, Jordan James, the running back out of Oregon. And similar to Jordan Watkins and how everybody for the 49ers talked about the combine. Just like that with Jordan James, everybody talked about his pro day. And you have John Lynch talking about his pro day. You had Kyle Shanahan talking about his pro day. And now Tariq Ahmed said, you know, the 49ers drafted James thinking he'll be a nice compliment to Garindo and how much they loved his pro day. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, you know, this is actually something that I've been talking about for a little while since the draft is him and Isaac Garindo really do complement each other, because the things that Garindo is really good at, the speed, the athleticism, catching the ball out of the backfield, like those are things that Jordan James is still developing. Yeah, he can catch the ball, and when he does it, he looks smooth, but there's a lot of drops, 18 career drops, so maybe it doesn't translate there. I think pass protection, he has moments he looks good, and then sometimes he's inconsistent. And so I think that I like the way they draft. You got the unicorn with Christian McCaffrey, and then you go get a couple of guys to compliment. And Garindo, as big as he is, 230 pounds, he's not a great interior run guy when it comes to short yardage. Like, he runs high, he gets hit, he falls forward in the end zone sometimes. But Jordan James is really good at finding creases. This is the Elijah Mitchell type of his game that I love. The ability to find little creases and be able to get first downs and touchdowns. And that in the red zone is going to be huge. And I think that's where he's going to probably have his best impact, is those times when Christian McCaffrey does something big and gets you into the red zone. Last year, we would kind of stall out. And I think that Jordan James kind of gets in there, maybe gets some of those carries until McCaffrey's ready to get in, and maybe gets a few touchdowns this year because of his ability to kind of, you know, operate in small spaces. So I love that part of it. I think Tariq Ahmed really leaned into that. And I like that. That's how you build a running back room. Let's not get everyone the same. Let's get guys that complement each other. And I think that's what they're doing.
Yeah, that, you have to remember, in Kyle Shanahan, running backs get hurt. It's just what happens every single year. The one year running backs didn't get hurt was 2023, and Christian McCaffrey was offensive player of the year, broke all kinds of records. And it's the only year since 2017, since Shanahan's been here, that you haven't dealt with a bunch of running back injuries. You're hoping you go back to that. You hope, man, if Christian McCaffrey stays healthy, he's comeback player of the year, hands down. I put a bet in on that, by the way. Right here, JP says, I'd give him a three. Kyle doesn't take Christian McCaffrey off the field. I wish he would rotate him a little bit more. So 1 to 10, what is your impact for Jordan James on the 2025 season?
I'm going to put it at a 5. I do think he's going to get some short yardage carries. I think there's going to be opportunities. Like you said, there's probably an injury, right? Garindo hasn't been able to stay clean. There'll probably be some more opportunities, but I think Jordan James is going to get some short yardage opportunities, which will lead into an impact. So I'm going to go ahead and go with the 5.
Yeah, I went with the 4. So we're close. 4.5 consensus grade. Not bad. Now let's talk Marquise Siegel, one of my favorite players of this draft class. And the more I watch him, I'm just like, yep. And, you know, I one of my tweets I put out like 6 weeks before, I was like, dude, day 3 guy, Marquise Siegel is going to be high on the 49ers list. He just fits. And, you know, my favorite, like, this was my favorite quote from the entire article on The Athletic by Matt Barrows interviewing Tariq Ahmed. He said, quote, "I love the way he closes and is able to erase mistakes with that speed," end quote. That's the thing. The 49ers have an eraser role, and that's what they have not had since Tayshaun Gibson kind of has moved on. And in my draft profile that I wrote, like, this dude is the perfect eraser role for the 49ers in their safety scheme. Like, he just fits way too much. Character, how much he's played, speed, athleticism, aggressiveness. It's just, whenever I look at Marquise Siegel, it's just like check, all the way down. What were your thoughts on this article and just kind of how he fits?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting how much he compared him to Tarvarius Moore, a former 49ers safety, but also they fooled around with Moore playing corner too. And he talked about that dime potential role for Siegel. And I heard Siegel in, you know, after he was drafted, talk about maybe being involved in a dime role for the 49ers. And I think that Tarvarius Moore, and also when you look at Jimmy Ward, it was very similar, right? Corner type skills, but could play safety. The difference is Moore and Siegel are more like because of the speed factor, the 4.3 speed. Jimmy Ward never had that. But you've got a guy that's 5'11", 199 pounds, who can run a 4.3 40. I love the eraser potential impact. And I do think that he's got a little bit more ability than people think. I think this guy's game is not locked into, you know, the Malik Mustafa or the Jair Brown playing around the box all the time. I think that there's some ability for him to play in space a little bit. But I love the factor of having that safety that can step up and cover a tight end in the slot if needed, or cover a running back out wide. That's one of the things when you talk about matchups, that you got to make sure you have guys that can match up. And the way the league is going, you have to have a safety that can step up and cover a Bijan Robinson out in space and feel like he can do a good job. And I think that's what the 49ers are trending towards. So I love the skill set. And I think with a little bit of development, he could be an impact player because he does play 4-3. We talked about Jordan Watkins, who doesn't look 4-3. Siegel looks 4-3 on the field.
Dude's always around the ball. Like, you watch the tape. Like, one of my favorite things about, you know, scouting Hufanga, which was so fun. Like, the play would be over and he'd be three steps away from the ball, but the whistle would blow and he'd take two more steps and touch the ball carrier or like poke at the ball. Like, he just had to. It was like he had this, I don't know what it was, just obsession with, I have to let the ball carrier know I'm so close to him at all times. And that's what you have with Marquise Siegel. And I love the fact that he can play nickel, he can play corner, he can play safety, both safety spots, he can play special teams. It's just like, man, this is a Jenga piece or a puzzle piece that's just, hey, not that he could fail in so many places, but you're going to be able to get kind of the best 11 with the Marquise Siegel because he could just go wherever. He's kind of like Ross Dwelly on the defensive side. Oh, well, your fullback's hurt. We're going to move Dwelly there. Oh, well, you need a number one tight end. Okay, he can kind of block and run routes. Oh, you just need a blocker. Okay, you just need somebody who can run routes in a pinch. Okay, he can kind of do that. Special teams, all right, cool. Like, it's just, these are the type of glue, kind of sixth men NBA type vibes where it's just like he's going to allow you to get a functional 11 out there one way or another. And I think the ceiling is there. That's the thing that's crazy with me about Marquise Siegel is I'm like, dude, that athletic profile and attitude and body of work, like the ceiling is present. It is a 4.3 guy that weighs, you know, 6 foot, 200 pounds. He could do a lot. So 1 to 10, where do you put Marquise Siegel on impact of the 2025 season?
I'm going to give him a 4. And the reason being, I don't think he's going to be able to start this year, but I think he's going to have an impact on special teams. I think that he's going to come in and I think he's going to compete for a gunner role. And I think he could make an impact there. So that's why I'm going to leave it at a 4. Cause I think there'll be some impact when it comes to special teams. And I think he's going to be asked to do a lot on special teams.
Yeah. And I put a 6. I don't think that he's going to have a big impact early. I don't. But I do think, I don't know, man. I could see this guy starting somewhere in a lot of games, whether that's at nickel, whether that's at safety. I just really, really, really like this guy. And, you know, if I had it my way, shout out to Usher, the first album. Like, if I had it my way, my two starting safeties eventually would be Malik Mustafa and Marquise Siegel. Like, that's what I want it to be. Doesn't mean that's going to happen. And Jair Brown's going to get first crack at that. And you've got Pittick and you've got, yeah, I get that. But man, there's just too much that this dude was just born to be a 49er to me. And it's just he was a 10 out of 10 on my fit scale of 49ers player, like before the draft. I freaking love him. Anyway, all right. So I had a 6, you had a 4. We'll meet in the middle for a 5. Let's get to our 7th round players, Ant. Curtis Rourke, the quarterback, baby. And, you know, this, what I liked a lot is they talked about Mick Lombardi, the new quarterback's coach. They said that this was a Mick Lombardi guy. Before our scouts even got involved, Mick already had his write-up on him. It said, you know, what stood out to him was processing speed, decision-making, and accuracy. dot on the quarterback, who's a rookie, but he's basically the same age as Brock Purdy, Curtis Wirt.
Yeah, I love the 5-1, you know, interception touchdown to interception ratio. Somebody that values taking care of the football, which we know is a huge part of what makes the 49ers value Brock Purdy. And I think that that was a key aspect. He's another guy that played through an injury. They've all brought that up, I don't know how many times, because of the toughness. But I think that there's enough athletic ability that he can still create outside the pocket a little bit. I think there are some concerns when it comes to off-platform throws. I think that, you know, the things that make Brock Purdy special, you're not going to find in Curtis Wirt. He's a different type of player. But the processing is really good. The layering of throws is really good. The intermediate passing is tremendously accurate. So when you're talking about the things that Shanahan needs for his offense, he has those. He just doesn't have the ability to create the way that Brock Purdy can. And so the improvisation skills you're not going to find from Curtis Wirt. But if you're talking about a guy that can drop back, run the offense, get the ball out in time, which he gets rid of the football really quickly, and get it to where it needs to get so his guys can get yak yardage, yep, he's able to do that at a high level. So I thought this was a great value in pick 7. And I love that Mick Lombardi is all in. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that happened with a former quarterback coach where he went all in on a quarterback and they took him at 262. So I kind of like, you know, when you're going to get invested and Mick Lombardi's taking over that role. He's been around some pretty good quarterbacks in his time, including, you know, this guy named Tom Brady, who is very in the pocket, could process really well and get rid of the football and wasn't hyper athletic. So maybe Lombardi, you know, kind of realizes that pocket passers can still operate well in the NFL. And Curtis Wirt's not Tom Brady. Okay. I don't want anyone to think that, but I'm just saying that type of pocket passer can still win in the NFL.
And yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the dude played without an ACL. He was back there on a peg leg in the Big Ten and just slinging it. You know what I mean? And it's just like, gosh, toughness. I really like this pick. He's like a Jared Goff type, but without the arm. He doesn't have the, you know, that there's a reason why Jared Goff went number one overall. Like, but there is a mold of this type of quarterback that has success in the NFL. And I just hope the 49ers keep taking, you know, seventh round quarterbacks. I would take one every single year and just see it. You know, talking about impact, I have a one on this year because I don't even think he's going to be. I think he's going to be on the NFI list, the non-football injury list, and won't even count for the 53. He gets to sit for a long time and just be part and observe and soak up everything, get healthy, come back and compete next year. What number do you put for Curtis Wirt on the impact of the 2025 season?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's going to be a one as well. I don't think there's going to be opportunity. You signed Mac Jones. This is the eventual replacement for Mac Jones when Mac Jones goes and gets another contract. And so it's a long-term play. But this is exactly what you had to do to eventually, because you're going to pay your quarterback so much money. You have to eventually have backups that are super cheap. Ed Rourke being another seventh round pick, super cheap. And you're hoping he could eventually be a guy that backs up Brock Purdy.
Yeah, that's the goal. Can he win that number two job eventually? We got zeros on here. I love it. That's awesome. That's awesome. What's up, Shay from Arizona? Appreciate you, man. So Connor Colby, probably one of your favorite picks. So I'm going to let you take this one away. You were harping on this during the draft. You really like this pick. So tell us about the offensive lineman, Connor Colby.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. Actually, we were asked to break down Connor Colby on the coach approach during the draft process. And so that was a lot of fun. And You love the run blocking from Connor Colby. You get to see it at Iowa all the time. So when it comes to run blocking, that's something he's very effective at doing. He's a old school Chris Foerster guy, the way that they've drafted before, where it's run first, pass blocking second. That's really going to be the element that is the biggest concern. Tariq Ahmad even said he's really good run blocker. But there's definitely a pass blocking deficiency when talking about Connor Colby. So how quickly can he develop? And it seems like the 49ers had sort of transitioned to Dominic Pooney and some of the other guys that were better pass blockers who could turn into run blockers. And now they went back the old school way. And Connor Colby's a guy that can definitely do all the things you need to do in this offense. I think the question is, how quickly is he going to be able to transition? Remember last year's seventh round pick, Kingston, that was a pass blocker who was trying to develop as a run blocker. Connor Colby's the absolute opposite of that. So it's interesting dynamic, but Chris Foerster, I guess, really signed off on this one and is really high on Connor Colby. And I think that makes me feel more comfortable because we know Chris Foerster gets his guys. He's going to put a lot of impact into how much he works with them. So he'll work a lot with Connor Colby trying to get him up to speed because he's one of his guys.
Yeah. And just Foerster, Like, the thing that Kyle loves about Forster is he doesn't push for offensive line early. We've heard so much about that in Forster's press conferences, which I love. Just give me some of these guys late. We'll make it work. He hasn't made it work with really any of the late guys. Dominic Pooney's been a home run. I would argue that Colton McKivitz has way outplayed his fifth round draft value. Now we're looking at the seventh round. So, Ant, on a scale of 1 to 10, Connor Colby's impact on the 2025 season?
2. I don't think he's going to get on the field. And I know a lot of people are hoping he's going to start. And in a perfect world, he's able to be really good in pass sets and be able to start. I don't see it. I think you look at the depth, you know, with Ben Bartsch and Dominic Pooney and Spencer Burford and Nick Sakel and Matt Hennessy even probably being a part of that guard situation too. And it's like, I don't know where Connor Colby fits. I think they like him, but I think they love him next year when he's going to be able to step in with a lot of those guys move and be a player that can make an impact. So, yeah, I'm going with a 2.
I had a 3. I was hoping you were going to be really high on him and tell me there's a chance he could start, you know, early. But look, JP says, you know, Connor Colby starting week 3. I would love it. If Connor Colby comes out and wins the job, nobody's going to be happier than Ant. I'll probably be number 2. But, like, that's a long hope. And he's got the pass protection. We've had so many issues at that left guard spot. So we'll see what that looks like. Let's get to the last one, Junior Bergen. And it's funny because with a lot of these quote-unquote question mark players, there's certain things somebody fell in love with, right? Jordan Watkins, they fell in love with the combine. You talk about Jordan James, I don't think it's a question mark pick, but they loved his pro day. They love certain players' toughness. Junior Bergen, man, it says, quote, when he was there with our last pick and the special teams coaches are standing on the table emphatically for him, makes it even easier to draft him, end quote. And yeah, Brent Boyer's son was on the Montana team. Like, there's a lot there. So Junior Bergen, even Tariq Ahmad said, yeah, he's a punt returner pretty much only. Returner only. What are your thoughts?
He's going to have to make an impact when it comes to returning game. Like, this is one of those ultimate ones where you throw a bone to the special teams guy because he thinks he could be, you know, a really star special teamer. And Kyle Shanahan can lean into that as far as if he's going to change field position, he's going to make it easier for us. So that part of the game, he can impact the offense that way. But Kyle has said before, you have to be able to do some things as a position player to be on special teams. We don't usually keep special teams specialists when it comes to returners, especially when you have Jacob Cowing and you have Ricky Pearsall that can handle punts. You just drafted Jordan Watkins. You have Isaac Garendo. You know, they got other guys that they got as well during the offseason that help on special teams with returns as well. So this is going to be an uphill battle. But I think one of the most interesting parts about Junior Bergen that I think everyone can lean on is 1 of 3 returns was a touchdown last year. They only gave him 10 opportunities. That's major respect, as they did not want to kick him the football. When he did, he made them pay. So if he could be a guy that makes a transformative player on special teams and changes special teams and change field position, I'm in. I think it's interesting to watch him. Now, if you go back to the 2023 film and you go back and watch what he did, he was way more impactful on offense than he was in 2024. But I don't know. That's going to be a tough one for him. It's going to be special teams is reason to make it. But I love that Brent Boyer, you know, pounded the table for his guy. Every once in a while, you take a shot and see if it works.
Hey, I got to watch Dante Hall like in person a few times. I was in grad school in Kansas City when he was playing there. And like, not saying he's going to be a Hall of Fame returner or anything along those lines. But if you see that, you know, I'm pretty against taking specialists, you know, with any draft pick. But the fact that he does play wide receiver, it's just like, man, how is this guy going to see the field? You have Jacob Cowing, who was quality punt returner last year. Like, he went great, but like, he went bad by any stretch. It's just like, man, that wide receiver room, how do you justify keeping an extra guy just for a punt returner, kick returner? I don't know. Who's going to be back there fielding punts week 1 against the Seahawks up in Seattle? Who's the 49ers punt returner week 1, Ant?
Jacob Cowing. I think Jacob Cowing is going to win the job. And I think that he's got to make an impact at wide receiver. And so I do think it's going to be him. And I think after that, Ricky Pearsall probably. I think it's going to be hard to keep, like you said, with roster construction, to keep a specialist unless Junior Bergen just is taking everything to the house and showing those Dante Hall type skills. If that happens, then all bets are off. The 49ers keep 6. They keep him as a 6th guy at wide receiver and they just don't look back. But it's going to take one of those out of this world type training camps and preseasons to get him on this football team. I think that there's a lot of work that needs to be done with him.
You know, whenever I go to the preseason games, which are always a blast, I love going to preseason games. And like sometimes, like late in the game, it's like, all right, this game's getting long, whatever. Let's go grab some beer. Let's go to the bathroom. Punt's coming up. You know, I can get out quick and get back. Not this year. Like whenever I'm telling you, it's going to be third quarter of the preseason. Game's pretty much over. Those punt returns, those kickoff returns, get your popcorn ready. Because that's the only way. And we saw it with Isaac Grindo. You remember Isaac Grindo had that one amazing, 90-yard kickoff return. And it was just like, oh, we've got our returner for the future. And then he fumbles like three straight kickoff returns. He gets benched by like week four at kickoff. So like, I don't know. Like Junior Burgett's going to have to go out there and show. Because, yeah, fielded punts in practice is one thing. But you don't practice live punt returns. You don't do that in practice and training camp. You don't do that. What can he do in the preseason? I think that's the one spot Junior Burgett could go out there and impress. Oh, we'll see. And you know, this is already one of my candidates for that mysterious Kyle Shanahan injury that takes place just so they could stash him. Oh, well, he got injured the last day of practice, so we're going to put him on the PUP, and we'll see what happens. Like, I could see that with Junior Burgett. So, scale 1 to 10. Where are you going to put your rating of Junior Burgett's impact on the 2025 season?
I got to put him with Curtis Rourke because I don't think that this is he's going to make an impact. I'm going to put him at a 1, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope he is Dante Hall. I hope he is one of these guys, Ted Ginn Jr., and makes an impact. But I think it's going to be tough, especially with the way I know Kyle looks at specialists. They have to be able to help in a position. I don't know if when he looks at all the talent at wide receiver, if he's going to be like, oh, yeah, we can keep Junior Burgett.
Yeah, I've got it too. I hope he wins that job, but I do like Jacob Cowing as a returner. It's just, man, that's going to be hard to swallow. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, right here, NY Niners, shout out to Ben. He's the best. If Bergen houses one in the preseason and doesn't make the squad, fans are going to lose their stuff. Yeah, he's fun. He's electric. And I hope that he, you know, again, for all these players, we hope they all come out and turn out to be Brock Purdy. That's the hope, not the reality of the situation a lot of times. So, man, this was fun. I enjoyed going through the rookie class. Fun times. Now, I do have to say, next Thursday, there will not be a Coach Approach. I have to go out of town again. Sorry, guys. It's always my fault. Anytime we don't have a show, Coach Approach on Thursday, it's always John Chapman. It is never Ant. He is the Iron Man of the 40 Hours podcasting industry. Any takeaways, Ant, before we head out of here, my friend?
Yeah, first off, there are people that are way more Iron Man than me when it comes to 49ers content. There are people that are ridiculous, multiple shows a day, every single day, so I got to give them credit. But yeah, I think this is a fun conversation. I'm excited to talk about rookies. And John, you know, they hit on some really big rookies last year. If these rookies have even a similar comparison to last year, we're going to talk about this being a two-year haul that thrusted the 49ers into the next incarnation of a competitor that can go for a Super Bowl. And I think that's huge when talking about these guys. So it's going to be a fun process to watch them develop. And I love the keen insight that we got from Tariq Ahmad. And I appreciate that because I think it helps us all now as we look at the rookies, we can kind of be excited about the elements that the 49ers liked and how that's going to add to the team.
Oh, I love it. Go check out the article. Shout out to Matt Barrows. He's by far one of my favorite writers and does a lot of original stuff. So go over and check out The Athletic. We're not trying to steal content. We're trying to promote content. There's still a lot more nuggets in there that we did share. But I'm thankful for the article, and I'm thankful for you guys. And you're the best there is. Everybody go subscribe to 49ers Cutback if you haven't already. What are you doing? It's the best in the business. 49ers Cutback wherever you watch, listen, download all those apps. Go support the man, Ant. And for everybody else, thank you. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers.
Bring your number. Not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in one-pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free four-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free four-year warranty. Tonal.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.